Father, we thank you, Lord, for another great day. One day in the courts of our Lord, better than 1,000 years anywhere else. So, Lord, we thank you because you woke us up this morning. You gave us the breath of life. And we thank you because this day is a blessed day for us. The lines today, we declare, are falling unto us in pleasant places. We declare the glory of God is in our lives. We're walking in glory, we're walking in power, we're walking in the light of the Lord. We will not walk in darkness, we shall not stumble. We have the light of life. We declare today that our minds are clear, our ears are open to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Our eyes are anointed to see wonderful things, Lord, out of thy law. Teach us, Lord, that which we know not. Speak to us so that we may hear. Open our understanding that we may perceive all the things that you have for us, especially the things that are freely given us of you. And Lord, we want to thank you for your great power, for your ability to sustain us, for your ability to keep us, for your ability to save us, for your ability to heal us, and for all the things that you are able to do for us. We give you all the praise and glory. And as we go into this hour, we pray that you will bless us with your presence. Let our hearts be full of joy to see all of your wonderful attributes today and to be encouraged. And we give you all the praise and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, good morning, everyone, again, and welcome. All right, we're going to start here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And I have several scriptures today just to call out this attribute of the Lord. And then at the end, we're going to talk about what we need to do once we understand all these things. You know, so right off the bat, we see that our God is able, we are told in Ephesians 3 and 20, that he is able not only to do, but to exceed our expectations. So that's the first scripture we want to call out today. Our God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But call out one point there. It's according to the power that worketh in us. You know, so you cannot have the expression of God beyond his power that is working in you. It's just that simple. According to the power, you know, so the ability of God, even though it's, you know, unlimited, is really limited by, you know, how much we allow his power to work in us. So it's according to the power that worketh in you. So the more of his power that you recognize, the more of this ability that God has to do and exceed your expectation, the more that it will happen and be realized in your life and in mine. You know, so it's according to the power that worketh in us. It can't be anything more than that. In other words, if we don't, the glory and the essence of God, how much of him that we know and how much of him we realize and we stand in awe of that greatness and his power, that's to the level to which he can actually do things for us, because you know, that's the level of our comprehension. So we need to expand our minds, you know, and just believe God for everything and in everything. Praise God. You know, so our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above. He can exceed anything that we can imagine, can exceed anything that we can ask. I mean, just think about that. If you can imagine it, he can do it, and he can outdo it. So that's a great thing. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and verse 17, we see that these young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are facing the penalty of death. because they would not yield. They would not sell out. And they said, well, you know, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. So we see that God is able to deliver us. And I often say every time I read this verse that when we are faced with any situation or any crisis or anything at all, you know, it is important for us, and this part of it is non-negotiable, to know and understand that God is able to do the thing. You know, to get us out of the crisis, he's able to deliver his whatever it is that we are facing, he's able to do it. You know, that's one thing that these young men settled in their hearts, that our God is able and he will deliver us. So they settled that. He's able and he will. You know. So, but even if he doesn't, they went on to say, well, even if he doesn't, for whatever reason, not because he is not able, but if for whatever reason it doesn't happen quite like that, we still will not change our position. Now that's powerful faith. You know, when you are facing a penalty of death to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace, that's a real commitment. And that's real faith. I call it fiery furnace faith. You know, you have the faith that can go through that. And even if you, for whatever reason, God didn't save you, you still won't change your position. My goodness, that is powerful. But they said, our God is able and he will. You know, so we must make that declaration for ourselves. Our God is able and he will. So those are two things that, you know, we must always recognize and be able to affirm no matter which situation we are facing. Our God is able and he will. Well, let's continue to look at some of the verses in scripture that talk about this. Romans chapter 4. These verses I'll just call out, not in any particular order. Romans chapter 4, we look at what the Bible says about the story of Abraham, you know, when he, you know, had to deal with the promise, and the promise was long-term. Abraham in verse, Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, he says that, well, let me read it from verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of nations, before whom he believed, talking about Abraham, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, that's Abraham, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. So he believed this thing, even though it looks like it couldn't be, because he didn't have a child. Yet how are you going to be the father of nations if you don't have one child? You got to start with one before you can have many. You have zero, yet you are believing God to have many, like the multitude, you know, like the sand of the sea or the multitude of the stars in number, yet you have zero. Well, he believed God. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, you know, now dead, being 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, you know, but, you know, he was strong in faith. He gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was to perform. So this man knew that God is able to perform his promises. Well, do you know that God is able to perform his promises? So that's, you know, we've been talking about God is able. He is able. He's able to deliver us, and he will. You know, he's able to exceed our expectations, and he will, and he wants to. One time somebody came to the Lord and said, well, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. The Lord said, I will be thou made whole. You know, sometimes we know or think, I mean, we know that God is able, but we wonder whether he wants to. Absolutely. He wants to do that. You know, so we should never even doubt that in our minds. We should always know that not only is he able, but he is willing to do that for us. Glory to God. So as we go through these scriptures, you know, let us realize what the Lord has for us in these abilities. These abilities that God exposes to us in these scriptures, it's for our benefit. It's not for his benefit. He already knows who, what he is and what he can do. But it's for our benefit. Romans chapter 14. And let's look at verse 4. God is also able to make you stand. Glory to God. He is able to make you stand. Well, the scripture says, well, stand therefore. Having done all, stand if you know that, you know, God is able to make you stand. He said, look, who are you that judges another man's servant? God is able to make him stand. Hallelujah. So, our God is able to make you stand. Make you stand and not to fall. He's able to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 says, our God is able to give you all grace. He is able to give you all grace. I mean, abound towards you in all grace, give you all grace so that you may have sufficiency in all things. Say, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So remember, God is able. This is what we're talking about today. God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you, having all sufficiency on all things, may abound unto every good work. Hallelujah. Now, here's another attribute of God concerning what he is able to do so that, you know, it gives us confidence. He says here that God is able to subdue all things unto himself. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 21, you know, God is able to subdue all things unto himself. So no matter, you know, what we are going through, you know, he says here, God is able to subdue all things unto himself. So when we are in him, we align ourselves to him, well, he will subdue that thing, whatever it is that we are confronted with. It's kind of like, you know, when you're standing beneath a huge mountain, that mountain is so big, you can't even, if you're standing right at the bottom of it, you can't see the top of it. But if you move back far enough and you see the top of that mountain, then you see, you know, this is something the Lord showed me in the spirit one time, then you see this huge colossal figure that is standing astride that mountain, and it completely dwarfs the mountain that you thought was so big, because God is able to subdue all things. He subdued that mountain. He subdued everything else. It makes the Lord no difference whether it's a mountain, whether it's small or big. He's able to subdue all things unto himself. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. God is able to keep you. Glory to God. You know, so Jesus prayed that prayer for us, as a matter of fact, you know, and God answered his prayer. You know, Jesus prayed, we looked at this yesterday or the other day. Jesus prayed the prayer that the Lord should, the Father should keep us from evil. And so we see that we know he's able to do that because Jesus already prayed. You know, praise God. You know, so God is able to keep everything that we committed to him. He said, for the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Well, what is it that you have committed? Have you committed your life? Have you committed your children? Whatever it is that you have committed unto him, he is able to keep against that day. From now until then, he's able to do it. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18 says that even when we are facing or going through, maybe facing trial, maybe going through or facing temptation, He is able, you know, to keep us. Glory to God. So Hebrews chapter 2, you know, verse 18 says, inasmuch as He Himself suffered being tempted or tried, He is also able to succor them that are tempted and tried. So God is able. Every which way you look at it, He's able. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 7 and 25, I believe, says that He's able to save us to the uttermost. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, He is able, verse 25 of Hebrews 7. Wherefore, you know, well, let's read a few verses before that so that we get some context. But, you know, He said, look, the Lord has made this Christ a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and He's made the surety of a better covenant. And they truly, there were many priests in those days, verse 23, because they could not suffer continuance, because they died. But this man, because he continued forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost. There's a song we sing like that. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, making intercession for them. I mean, that means his ministry of intercession continues. Even now, he's still making intercession for us. You know, so because of that, he's able to save us to the uttermost. Yeah, that is amazing. God is able to save us to the uttermost. God is able to save us from death even. You know, Jesus, you know, there's another scripture here in Hebrews 5, verse 7. You know, that talks about Christ, all the things he went through, you know, who in the days of his flesh, we're told, when he has suffered many things, you know, from being a son of man, or the son of man, he suffered many things, the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. So God could have saved him, you know, but Jesus went through with it. And but, you know, if we read that scripture, we know that God is also able, you know, to save us, you know, from death. Praise God. Well, he's able also to raise the dead, even. Is he able to do that? You know, sometimes we think that this issue of raising the dead is out of scope. No, God is able to raise the dead, and not only physically raise the dead now, but he also promised that he will lose none of his own, and he will raise us up at the last day. In the story where God was talking, I mean, the story of Hebrews chapter 11, where he was talking about, you know, all of the things that, I mean, these heroes of faith, we call them as well. You know, Abraham by faith, we are told in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in the Isaac shall I see be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. So this man, he knew that even if he killed that son, God was able to raise him. You know, so do we believe that? Do we believe that God is able to do that, you know, to raise from the dead? Well, we see many stories in the Bible where that actually happened. You know, but today we're calling out God's ability to do these things according to these scriptures. You know, John chapter 5, verse 21, when Jesus was talking to the Jews, he said, look, the Son, let me read it from verse 19. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, You know, so what things soever the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than this, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, that's right, and quickeneth them, even so also the Son quickeneth whom he will. So the Father raises the dead. Let's look at John chapter 6, the next chapter. We'll pick it up at about verse 37 or so. Again, Jesus still talking to the Jews. And he says, look, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Glory to God. And he goes on to say, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Hallelujah. And as the, it is this, he said, is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose none, but should raise it up again at the last day. Wow. And that is a point blank promise. I mean, even for people who die before the translation or the rapture, as we call it, Jesus said, I will lose none of them. I'll raise them up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Whether I died or in the grave or whatever, Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day. You know, sometimes the way we present the rapture, it's as if, you know, that's the only way to go to heaven. No. Whether they go, you know, in the rapture or before, you know, now the rapture, unless somebody can go like Enoch, who was translated that he should not see death, and Elijah, who also went in the chariots of fire, you know, apart from all those people, I mean, those two people, there may have been others that are not recorded in the Bible, we don't know. But we don't see too many people that went to heaven without dying. Even Jesus himself died. So, you know, let's not make it as if, oh, you know, people who die, you know, maybe they are less. No, they are not any less. Jesus died and he rose again. And they say, look, the Father, the Spirit of God raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies. So whether we're alive and remain until the translation, or we're so aged, if the Lord were to tarry, the way the body disintegrates, you know, unless your body is vibrant, you know, if you are vibrant, you can probably live for many, many years. In those olden days, they were so vibrant. The glory and power of God was in them. And it seemed like it was fizzling away. You know, the light that was upon Adam was fizzling away. The Lord said, in the day that you do it, you will die. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And none of them lived to be 1,000 years. Even Methuselah, that lived the longest, 969, couldn't get quite that 1,000. But the Lord said, in that day that you do it, you will die. And in that one day, they died. Because a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. But, you know, when that light was still present, the influence of that light, as it used, you know, started diminishing, it was still in many of them. In the first few generations, they lived 800, 700, 900 years. And then gradually, the thing began to sizzle, you know, fizzle away. And so on and so forth. So, whether we go in the translation or not, our desire and hope is that the Lord will come in our day. But remember, even Paul, the apostle, he was hoping and thinking that the Lord will come in his time. He said, for those of us who are alive and remain shall not prevent them who are asleep in the Lord. Well, Paul is no longer here. He died. He was expecting it, but he died. And all through that time, we've been expecting it. But, you know, if the Lord tarries long enough, people eventually die. You know, but we see all the signs around us today. And we know that his coming is right around the corner because we see so many things around us. But I say to you today, whether a person dies before the translation or not, here is the point blank promise. I will raise him up at the last day. So we don't need to be afraid of that. I will raise him up. But our hope and our desire is that we should be alive when he comes and see, experience that glorious thing. Woo, my goodness. But I tell you what, I don't believe personally that death is the only way to leave this earth. I don't believe that, because Enoch was translated as should not die. And he walked with God. You know, and that's why I've been teaching, you know, the Walking with God series. And I'll get back to it in this room, and we will see that God is actually able to change us into light before we actually go through physical death. He's able to do that. And he can do it. And he left a witness in the Bible to show us that it can happen. You know, so, but either way, I will raise him up at the last day. So that ought to give us confidence right there. You know, say, I will lose nothing and I will raise him up at the last day. And he said it in so many places here. He said it again in verse 44. We are reading John chapter 6. Say it again in verse 44. He said, look, I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. So many times he says this, I will raise him up at the last day. Now these are people who have died. He said, whether they've died, whether they are living, he told Martha, you know, he that liveth and believeth in me, you know, I mean, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth shall never die. Do you believe this? Well, it was very hard for Martha to swallow that, you know, because and she said, yeah, well, I know that my brother will rise in the resurrection and stuff like that. But Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was saying that it is actually possible. Because with God, all things are possible. I mean, don't put anything past the Lord. God can make. We may have Enoch, you know, we have people like Enoch that will live with God and be trans. It's so hard when you say these things today, because the people will say, oh, we shall all die. No, the scriptures say we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. So let's not be saying things that the Bible doesn't say. You know, people always talk as if, oh, everybody must die. No, the Bible doesn't say that at all. In fact, that's contrary to the scriptures. The Bible says that we shall not all sleep and we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, you know, in the sounding of the trump. We shall be changed, incorruptible. Glory to God. So we shall not all die, but if we die, Jesus says, I will raise him up at the last day, but we shall not all die. You know, I believe that a person, they can be changed from light to light, from glory to glory. And eventually when they are completely light, they will be gone. That's right. So that darkness will not contaminate them again. This is the story of Enoch that I've been telling in some of my rooms, you know, because 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 tells us God is light. This is the message we heard from the beginning. He said that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You know, so for us to be completely united with him, you say, Enoch, walk with God. He can't walk with God if he was in darkness, because there's no darkness in him. And gradually, I believe as he was chasing after God, that, you know, the death and darkness that was in his generation began to, you know, be removed. You know, gradually he was phasing out death and he was outpacing. Think of it this way. Think of life and light on the far right of a spectrum. And think of death and darkness on this far left. You know, when we come into the world, we are in the death and we are in the darkness. Because Adam has sinned and, you know, death passed upon all through his disobedience. But, you know, as we begin to understand the Lord, we begin to move towards that light. We begin to move towards that light. Death will be catching up. Darkness will try to catch up with people. But if you can outrun it, and, you know, I'm just explaining those terms. You know, Enoch outran that death and darkness. He got so far away from it, got closer and closer to the light. That's the way the Lord showed it to me. Got closer and closer to that light, and the rate of change of, you know, transformation inside of him towards light was faster exponentially than the rate of death and darkness I was trying to catch up with. And as soon as it was getting changed, that's what the Bible says in, you know, Corinthians 3 and 18, that we are changed from glory to glory. We are changed. Glory to God. So as we are changed, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. We're changed into the glory of the Lord, you know, from glory to glory, into his image. You know, we are changed from glory to glory. That's a song we sing about that as well. You know, so as we are changed into that image, we're coming into glory and glory. One day, I believe that if a person can get fully into that light, he'll be gone. You'll just be gone, just like Enoch, transfused with that light and translated. Now, they should not see that. Death can't catch up with that person anymore, because they've outpaced death completely, completely outrun death and changed into light, and it's gone. Now, all of that sounds like heresy or whatever sometimes, because our traditions, you know, have taught us differently, and we find it very hard to believe these things. It seems far-fetched, but it is the scriptures, and it is true, you know. But either way, I will raise him up at the last day. Isn't that beautiful? Now, knowing that we have all these things that God is able to do, what must we do then? We must patiently wait for him. The problem is, we don't wait. You know, we're not patient, because, you know, we just run off and go look for help someplace else. You know, if you know that God is able to deliver you, why don't you wait for his deliverance? But we, including myself, sometimes, I mean, you know, I'm trying to train myself not to do that. And I think I'm doing a better job these days. But you must wait for the Lord. We can't run off. You know, now that we know all the things that God is able to do, and I'm going to recap them quickly before I show you all the things that you must do in response to these things. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. God is able to deliver us, and he will. Daniel 3:17. God is able to perform all his promises. Romans 4:21. And God is able to make you stand. Romans 4 and 14. God is able to give you all grace. Second Corinthians 9 and 8. You know, God is able to subdue all things to himself even. You know, Philippians 3 and 21. God is able to keep you from falling. You know, anything that you commit into him, he's able to keep against that day. 2 Timothy 1:24. And I think actually Jude, one verse in Jude may say something like that as well. Let me read Jude 24. See what it says. See, God, he said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Glory to God. So God, thank you, Holy Spirit. God is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Whew. And I would have left out that verse. You know, that is so powerful. He is able to keep you from falling. Jude verse 24. And to present you faultless. He's able to do it. And so we got to believe that. You know, don't let the devil tell you you're not going to make it. You know, we are going to make it. And because having begun in the spirit, are we going to now be made perfect in the flesh? I mean, when we believe the Lord, you know, for, you know, salvation, was it not faith? Was it not by faith we are saved and not by works? For that is the gift of God, you know, that no man should boast before him. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Was it not by faith? I mean, if we began by faith, you know, now, you know, we're trying to get perfected in the flesh. Now all of a sudden you think, well, I'm not going to make it. All those things are things that the devil throws up. There are people, you can't make it. You can't make it. Look, Jesus, he paid the price. And that shed that blood. That's our passport to heaven. He got it. But as we've been saying in this room, it's not just about going to heaven. There's other things that he wants us to be doing. You know, but as long as we are in the light and walking with him in the light, he's the author and finisher. You know, he doesn't just start something and then dump it. He will finish it. He started, he was the captain of our salvation from the beginning, and he'll see us all the way through. So let nobody ought to be afraid and say, oh, maybe I won't make it. Maybe the rapture happens, I'll be left behind. Why would you be left behind? You know, so you will not be left behind. Well, some people may be left behind, but that's not me. And that's not you. Why? Because, you know, we are trusting the Lord and we are believing God, you know, and they that look for him, you know, he will appear unto them. Are you looking for the Lord? That's right. So we are looking for him and we believe that he's coming. But before he comes, glory to God, and behold, he is coming, you know, in the clouds of heaven. But before he comes, we got to do some stuff. We got to show this world. The psalmist said it this way. He said, look, Lord, forsake me not until I've shown this generation thy power to this generation, thy glory to everyone that's to come. We got to do that. You know, but God is able to keep us. And Hebrews 2 verse 18 says he's able also to uphold. You know, he's able to succor those that are tempted in that he himself was tempted. God is able, you know, Christ. In his role, you know, as, you know, this high priest after the order of Melchizedek in Hebrews 7:25, we are told that he is able to save us to the uttermost because he's still making intercessions for us. You know, God is able to save us from death. Hebrews 5:7. God is able to raise the dead even, you know, Abraham's story in Hebrews 11:19. Say that, look, even if I sacrifice Isaac, God is able to raise him from the dead. On and on and on. And then we finally came to the promises that Jesus himself said, I will raise him up at the last day. I will lose none of it. You know, so that's a point blank promise. My sheep hear my voice and I call them and they follow me. And the stranger they will not follow. And I give unto them eternal life, as many as the Father has given me. And I will lose none of them. And I will raise them up at the last day. I mean, that alone right there, that's sufficient. I will raise him up. I will lose none of them. And everyone that has believed on the name of the Lord Jesus, I don't care how long they've been in the grave. Actually, it's only their body that's in the grave. They are not in that grave anymore. Praise God. You know, their spirit is not in that grave. You can't put the spirit in the grave. You know, you put that body in the grave. But even that body will be changed. Glory to God. We will be changed. We shall not all sleep, and we shall be changed. God is able to do all these things. Now, knowing therefore that God is able to do these things, what must we do? We must wait patiently for his salvation. You know, for instance, if you're waiting for God's deliverance on an issue, Psalm 40 and verse 1 said, I waited patiently. Patiently for the Lord. Don't be impatient and run off. You know, the children of Israel, they were impatient. You know, because they never learned how to hear God's voice for themselves. God said, look, if you will indeed obey my voice, I will make you a kingdom of priests. They said, well, initially they said, well, yeah, we will obey. But then later when they saw all the phenomena and the glory of God and the thunders and the lightnings and the power and the Mount Sinai on smoke and everything, they said, oh no, we can't hear the voice of God. You know, we will die if we hear their voice. You go hear it and come. Well, they rejected his voice. And that was the commandment. If you obey my voice. But you can't obey because they didn't even want to hear it. So finally, because they didn't learn to hear God's voice from their own, they were impatient when Moses was gone. But only 40 days. They said, oh, we don't know what became of this Moses. We don't know what has happened to him. You know, I mean, Moses is the medium by which we hear from God, and he's no longer here. You know, so make us gods. You know, go before us. You know, Exodus 32, you can read that story. It's a sad story, very sad, that people would not want to hear from God directly. And because of that, they became impatient. And so the question is this. I did a room about this some months ago. You know, when the answer from God is late in coming, what is next? Do we now turn to the golden calf? You know, these people turned to the golden calf when the answer from God was delayed in coming. Well, they could have had that voice inside of themselves and not be looking for the voice somewhere else. That could have solved that problem. But be it as it may, they were looking to an external source. And when that source was no longer there, they changed their direction and started looking for a golden calf, something to represent, to replace God. What is that? You know, I mean, that's horrible. You know, so let's not act like this. Let us be patient in waiting for the salvation of the Lord. You know, wait patiently. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for him. You know, Psalm 40 and verse 1. And eventually, what happened? Well, the Lord actually answered him. He said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock and established my goings. And he put a new song. But if he hadn't waited patiently, you know, faith and patience, they go together. If you're having faith, then you must also be patient unto the Lord. You know, be patient in waiting for him. If you have faith and you are not patient in waiting for the Lord, then it's almost as if you don't have faith. You know, through faith and patience is how we inherit the promises. We have got to wait. Now that we know that God is able to do all these things, we must wait patiently for him, no matter how long it takes. You know, so, you know, this is what I'm trying to bring out in this lesson today. We've first of all covered all the abilities of God, all the things that he's able to do. Now that we know that he's able to do all that and then some, then we should wait patiently for him. Praise God. You know, so let's read, you know, I love to read the stories of David. You know, let's read in Psalm 27 and in verse 14, he says, you know, he's telling, you know, himself and everybody else, you know, because David loved to encourage himself in the Lord. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Now that we know that God is able to do all these things, we have to wait for the salvation of the Lord. We cannot run up. The reason why people go and borrow money from, you know, our systems of the world that are wrapped in mystery of iniquity, you know, is because we're not waiting for the salvation of the Lord. You know, the Bible says, look, the borrower is servant to the lender. Don't be a servant, you know, but if you're not waiting patiently for the Lord, and you go run and borrow and put your neck under debt and so on. You know, stay with the Lord and he'll show you his salvation. You know, now that we know that. Psalm 37 and verse 34. All through David's life, he always liked to, you know, mention some of these things. And as we read his testimonies, look, we need to know that we ought to do also the same. Wait on the Lord, he said in Psalm 37 and verse 34. And keep his way. While you are waiting, also keep his way. Don't go into the way of the wicked. You know, don't take the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. But you must wait. All of this is premised by waiting on the Lord. And we gotta wait on the Lord. We can't run off. Look, faith and patience, they go together. Let's read Hebrews 10. We pick it up from about verse 35. We cannot, you know, we just can't run off without patience. I cannot say this. I can't emphasize this enough. We have to have that patience. Now that you know that God is able to do it, then Be patient. Cast not, he says, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Hebrews 10 and 35. For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you know, just like Psalm 37 verse 34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way. And then he shall exalt you to inherit land. So waiting on the Lord in patience, he said, look, after that you have done the will of God, not before, but after you've done the will of God, after you kept his way, you will receive the promise. But so, you know, patience. Patience is very important. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Jesus said it in Luke 18. He said, look, shall not God avenge his elect who cry upon him day and night? He said, behold, I tell you, verily, verily, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Well, speedily to God may not seem speedily to you. But if he says speedily, it is speedily. He will never be late. He's always on time. No matter what, he will show up. Now, he may show up a little late, you know, the way we think it, just like in the case of Lazarus. You know, when they sent to him, he delayed. I've often wondered about that story. I mean, they sent to him when Lazarus was sick. And when he heard that Lazarus was sick, then he waited 2 more days in the same place where he was. I mean, what's that all about? I mean, Lazarus is sick. Go and heal the man already. Why do you have to delay? But he was delaying for the purpose of bringing out a greater demonstration of God's power. To let them know that, look, yeah, I can heal the sick while they're sick. But when they are dead and in the grave, I can call them out too. You know, and he wanted to show that to disciples. Well, some people had to suffer some pain for that. But God's greater purpose was revealed. Martha and Mary and the family of, Lazarus and all his friends and so forth, you know, they suffered some pain for those extra days that Christ waited. You know, so sometimes we may suffer pain. We don't know what God is doing, but it might be for the glory of God to be revealed at the end, even some greater glory. They asked Jesus of the man in John chapter 9 who was born blind. The disciples said, this man was born blind. Why? They asked. Was it his parents that sinned? Or was it his own sins that made him born blind? Because, you know, people always think that when you have, you know, some bad situation in your life, they always, you know, immediately associate it with something bad or wrong that you've done. This is just the way we think. You know, so somebody is blind, we automatically think that, well, that means that they must have done something wrong. You know, otherwise there's no way they could be blind. This is what they told Jesus or asked Jesus. This man, you know, that was born blind. Who sinned? You know, why was he born blind? You know, and you can read it in the first 3 verses of John chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, and look at the answer of Jesus will absolutely stun you. It did me. He said, look, neither had this man sinned, nor yet his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in you. The works of God, I mean, that's one of the hardest things I've ever read in this Bible. The works of God should be made manifest in the man. Now the man is 40 years old. Yes, it wasn't the blindness that were the works of God, but that day that he was healed, glory to God, the works of God were made manifest. And you know, sometimes people have to suffer some pain. We don't know what God is doing. Can the clay say to the potter, how, what makest thou and what doest thou? I mean, if we are enjoying his mercy, you know, if everything is good with us, and you know, then we just be thankful. But if we are suffering something and the end of it may be for the glory of God to be revealed in greater light, well, so be it. You know, we don't know either way what God is doing. You know, all the 40 years that this man was blind, who knows what they was going through. But one day, glory to God, one day when the master showed up and he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And that was it. The man came back seeing, you know, and all that. And my goodness, there was glory. But Jesus said, look, don't think that it was this man's sin that made him blind. Don't think that it was his parents' sin. Well, then there may be situations that things come upon people because of what they did, but not in every case, as we see here. But Jesus said, look, there is something that God's going to do in this man's life that is going to demonstrate the works of God. And so when we are waiting, let us wait patiently. Back to Hebrews 10 and verses 35 to 37. We have to, through our patience, after we've done the will of God, then that's when we are going to receive. Glory to God. You know, so what we are saying today is now that we know that all of these things that God is able to do, well, then we must wait patiently for him. Luke chapter 21. Let's read verses 19 to 21. Jesus talking about in your patience. Just verse 19 alone will tell you that. In your patience, possess your souls. Luke 21 and verse 19. You got to be patient. You can't run off. You know, you got to wait patiently for the Lord. And let's read some of these things that may challenge us even further. First Peter. Chapter 5 and verse 10. You know, we're challenging ourselves now that we know the ability of God to do all these things that we called out. Well, here is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, remember, we say God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Well, we already read that. He's able to do that. So the God of all grace who has called you or called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and send you. I mean, I've always wondered about this scripture. Why will you strengthen me after I've already suffered? Why not strengthen me before? But, you know, he will strengthen you even before. He will strengthen you while you're going through. But he's saying that, he's bringing out a point here. That look, you know, you gather strength based on the victory, you know, that you went through. So, you know, the victories of yesterday or yesteryears will give you strength for the present conflict. This is what David did when he recounted his victory against the lion and against the bear. And it gave him faith for the present conflict against Goliath. You know, so after that you have suffered a while, does it mean that we must always suffer? Yes. Suffer means tested. It doesn't mean, it's not always, you know, the bad kind of suffering, but suffering means you are tried. The word of the Lord is tried. You're waiting for that thing, but it's not forthcoming immediately. God promised you, but then all hell breaks loose. So, and it always seems like that happens sometimes. You know, you believe in God and it looks like, you know, this is it. You know, I can feel it. I can taste it. You know, it's right there, you know, and then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. Everything goes in a complete opposite direction. What will you do at that time? Will you be running around panicking? I know in Africa when we were growing up, cut off the head of the chicken, the thing would run around like crazy. You know, so that's what the disciples were panicking when they were in the boat. Because Jesus promised them, let's go to the other side. But then when all hell broke loose, they were panicked. You know, and they started crying out. So the stuff's going to happen, but you must be patient. You must ride out the storm. You know, ride out the storm. God has already deposited in you the ability to go through the storm. He has already told you you are going to the other side. End of story. So when that storm comes up against you, ride it out. Glory to God. Just ride it out. God doesn't have to rebuke or remove every storm. Some storms we have to ride out. Ride out the storm. And then after that, you have suffered through the storm a while, he will make you perfect. He will establish you, he will center you, and he will settle you. But you got to go through. You got to go through. And all of us must go through. Glory to God. Listen to this in, Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, I'm going to read perhaps from verse, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6, for when God made promise to Abraham, let me read from verse 12. As a matter of fact, let me take it off from verse 10. Verse 10 will give us more context. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed towards his name in that ye minister to the saints and do minister. But you must not faint. You got to keep doing those works in order for you to receive. We're told in another scripture that Galatians 6 and 9, if we faint not, we will receive the reward in due season. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. This is what we're talking about. You got to hang in there. You got to be patient. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Not just faith alone, but patience. We got to be patient while we are waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. We are believing, but we are patiently waiting. For when God made promise to Abraham, because God could swear by no other, by no person greater than himself. People normally swear by somebody greater than himself. Well, so God willing also to do the same. He looked up and down whether he could swear by somebody greater than himself. He found none, because there's none greater than God. So he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, this is the critical part. So, verse 15, after that, Abraham had patiently endured, then he obtained the promise. You're not going to obtain the promise if you run off. You're going to have to patiently endure to inherit that promise. Glory to God. So here's where we are today. And in a few minutes, we're going to pray. But this is our admonition this morning. This is our admonition. Looking unto Jesus, look at this also. Verses, Hebrews verse 12, chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. This is the same example of Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We talked about that earlier. Who for the joy that was set before him endured. He knew that God was able to deliver him, but, he had to go through. And he was prophesying it to himself all the time. Destroy this temple and in 3 days, I'll raise it again. He knew he was coming out of there, but he had to go through. For the joy that was set before him, he had to endure the cross, despising the shame. And he's now set down at the right hand of the throne of God, because he overcame. But he went through in order to get there. So likewise, we must patiently go through. No matter what it is that we are facing, as long as we know that God is able, then we go through. Even now, Christ is still patiently waiting for some things. Did you know that? even though he's gotten all the victory, he's still waiting. The Bible says that, look, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, that you read that in Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 12, he offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Then he sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting. So he's still waiting for all his enemies to be made his footstool. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Christ is still waiting for that. He's still waiting for all the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of the Lord and his own. So he's still waiting patiently. I mean, he got the victory thousands of years ago, but he has to still wait for the kingdom to be fully delivered unto him. And he's waiting on us, actually, you know, because, you know, we have to help to bring in that process, to bring in everlasting righteousness and anoint the most holy. That is the duty of the church as the agency of change that will do that. You know, and so we must do that. But Jesus is still patiently waiting. Glory to God. So all of us must go through and we must wait to get the crown at the end. And the Lord will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He already is, but he will eventually be crowned up. And he will take unto him. He said they were delivered unto him. They brought him near unto the Ancient of Days, Daniel chapter 7. And there was given to him a kingdom and a dominion that shall never end. Glory to God. And he's going to turn around and give it to his saints. The kingdom shall be given to the saints of the people of the saints of the Most High. And his dominion shall be everlasting. It shall not be left to other people. So we, you know, these things are coming. And we must patiently wait for them. But to get there, we must do our part. The part, you know, the children of Israel were not patient when they got out of Egypt. They were not patient. But, you know, there is a journey that we must take to get to the promised land. And you are going to have to go through that wilderness. You're going to have to deal with the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Amorites, and all these things along the way. But you're going to have to be patient. But if you can't be patient, then your heart will turn back to Egypt. Are there no graves in Egypt, they said, that we should have died there? That you brought us out to this wilderness to die here? This is what we told you when we were in Egypt, that you should have left us alone. And they murmured. They were not patient. Even we see the story in Exodus chapter 15. They murmured. They murmured when they didn't find water. But right around the corner, the Bible says that God had prepared, you know, 12 wells, 10, you know, palm trees and all these things to give them food and water. And it was right around the corner. But they murmured to God all the time. Just because they got out to a place, you know, and there was difficulty. And let me bring this out to you also. We've talked about this before, but I want to bring it out again. You know, when God is leading you out from one place to go to a better place, you know, don't for one reason or one moment think that that journey is going to be all bed of roses. It will not. Because the devil's going to put up a fight. You know, so, and this is what happened to the children of Israel. Just because God said, look, I'm going to get you out of your bondage, you know, and he had promised their fathers that he's going to give them something better. And he told Moses and Aaron, go get my people out of there. And as they went, just because they, you know, Moses told them all the great things, you know, does that mean that your journey is going to be, you know, easy? As a matter of fact, Bible says that God took them through a long way. You know, he didn't take them through the shortcut because he didn't want their hearts to turn back to Egypt. So he took them through the long way. And on the way, they had to deal with so many things. And just because God promised it doesn't mean you're not going to face multiple things. You will face multiple things. In fact, every blessing of God is a package of mixed blessings. It will come. You know, you're going to get it, but there's going to be all kinds of things. You know, come with it. But if you patiently endure, God will sift out the good from the bad. And you will get the good finally. But it will come. I mean, a woman, when they are going to have a child, they must go through, you know, it's a lot of pain, a lot of suffering for many months, you know, and days of discomfort, weeks, months even, you know, and even when they get close to the day and, you know, they're in pain, we dealt with this when we did birth pains some few weeks ago. But, you know, when they get to that point, painful process. It's a mixed blessings. It's always mixed blessings. But you're going to come out of there. Eventually, great joy. But before you get there, a lot of mixed blessings. You know, so that's it, folks, for today. We need to trust the Lord with all of our heart while we are waiting and while we are going through, knowing that God has promised and He is able to deliver us.